I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that gospel story really spoke, I think. And last week we heard the gospel storytelling, and it was about the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And on that occasion, we considered the notion of fairness. What's fair got to do with it? As we seem to understand and value that concept, that idea, in a human way. And we contrasted that with the sovereignty of God and God's grace. And we sort of wondered out loud whether it was God's sovereignty and grace at work in Pastor Stephanie's calling to a new ministry, because surely there was no fairness at work there. Now this week, the readings from Exodus and Matthew point us in a new direction and seem to be saying something about obedience, the consequences of obedience or lack thereof, the impact of obedience on leadership, and the importance of actions or follow-through as opposed to lip service. And you may recall last week that your warden spoke to you briefly about the process they're now engaged in to identify your next pastor. And no doubt one of the considerations will be, what qualities do we want in our spiritual leader? And no, you're not allowed to clone Stephanie. That one's off the table. Now, we have some lessons both from the Old Testament and the Gospel today, I think, that get a little bit at leadership or qualities that we might want to find in leadership. And I also found another one which goes back to another ancient source, which would be the 6th century B.C. Greece. And there was a fellow in the 6th century B.C. Greece whose name was Aesop. And he was a slave. But importantly for us, he was a storyteller. And he's left us some wonderful fables, and I will refer to one of those a little later. We heard Jesus being questioned in the gospel about what authority do you have to do what you're doing? Don't we all ask that question a little bit from time to time? On what authority are you basing whatever it is you're doing or saying? We question authority, especially today. Seems to be a very popular thing to do. Jesus' authority was questioned by the chief priests and the elders, as you heard. And they wanted to know by what authority he was preaching and teaching and healing, because after all, he was garnering quite a crowd. He was popular. People liked what he had to say. This was revelation. This was new. This was a new authority. And people like to hear all about it. And normally that would have been the job of the chief priests and the elders. So here's someone new has come into town, and he's saying things that people are turning and listening to as opposed to them. So, of course, one of the things they're going to do is question that authority. And of course, as you heard, he gave them a chance to have their question answered in an honest way. But of course, they were playing the political card. They thought, well, gee, if we say this, then that's going to happen. If we say that, that's going to happen. And basically, all they were trying to do was protect themselves, to keep their position. They didn't really care anyway about the true answer. Really, all they wanted to do was embarrass Jesus, make him look bad in front of the people. So maybe the people would turn away from him and say, oh, well, he's a false prophet, just like all the others. He responded by not having, to answer their question directly, but went on to tell a parable about two sons, as you heard, and they were asked by their father to work in the vineyard, and one refused, and then later on went to the vineyard and worked, and the other one said, sure, I'll go, and never went. And Jesus asked which of the two did the will of his father. Of course, in Scripture, anytime we hear that word Father, we should think God. Which of the two did the will of his father? They responded the first, the one who refused, but then went to work. And I think there are two points here, and two points that we can relate to leadership. And one is about obedience, in this case, doing the will of the Father. And the other is about action speaking louder than words. Don't do as I say, do as I do. Follow me, but follow what I do, not what I say. We would want our leaders always to be obedient to God the Father and to walk humbly with him. And we would want their actions to affirm and support and inform their faith. Now I'd like to go back to Exodus and dear Moses, who is really caught in this case between a rock, the rock at Horeb, and a hard place, and we could say the hard place are those very difficult people he was trying to lead. And they were complaining all the time. They were whining. Nothing was good. Everything was... Do you know people like that? Yeah? Do you like being in their company? No. Well, that's the card that Moses drew. Now, he's probably the best-known leader in the Old Testament, a giant of a figure. He was the one, of course, who led the Israelites out of Egypt, put up with their bickering and complaining for 40 years as he led his people to the Promised Land, or he hoped to do. And he is the one who delivered the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, going to see God, risking thereby death in the process. But even this long-suffering, patient, courageous, and storied leader couldn't get it right. And isn't that sometimes true of our leaders? As you heard in the first reading, the Israelites were complaining bitterly to Moses. They had no water to drink, and they complained to Moses, and they said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" They had no water. They were going to die. We can last 40 days without food, but only a few days without water. They were going to die. They were fearing for their lives. So Moses, who always kept close counsel with the Lord God, Moses didn't make a decision on his own. He never did that. I mean, he either relied on Aaron or he spoke to the Lord God. And in this case, he spoke to the Lord God and he said, "What should I do?" And the Lord instructed him this way. He said, "To take that staff with which he struck the Nile, the one that parted it, and go and strike the rock at Horeb, out of which will come water for the people to drink." That's what he did. The water came out. The people could slake their thirst and at least for a while be satisfied. Now that should have been the happy ending to the story. Should have been the happy ending to the story. But alas, it is not. Although Moses did exactly what the Lord God told him to do, the Lord took Moses' actions as a disobedient act. Perhaps because he couldn't seem to control his own people. And his penalty for that action, sometime later on, was to be denied entry into the Promised Land, Canaan. Now, have you ever had, I don't want to refer to the Lord God as boss, but lacking a better metaphor, have you ever had a boss who told you to do something, which you diligently did, following instructions, and then somebody above your boss didn't like what you did, and you were criticized for it? That's sort of what happened here. That's sort of what happened here. Moses died on this Sinai side, and Joshua led the people into the Promised Land. So what we might say the leadership lesson here is from Exodus about Moses, perhaps it is just that no matter how dedicated and committed and sincere we are in our leadership, no matter how hard we try, we will always be judged by others who may find our efforts, well-intended as they may be, lacking. So, how's the leader to respond to that? And I don't think there's no other answer except a leader must be able to accept such judgment with humility and grace. Something from the gospel, something from Exodus and Moses. And now I would like to go back and offer you something from Aesop's Fables. This is a story about wanting a leader. And these are frogs. Frogs. You see, the frogs wanted a leader, and they bothered Zeus, you know, the god of thunder and lightning. In ancient Greek mythology, they bothered Zeus so much with their requests that he finally tossed them a log into the pond to be their leader. And for a while, the frogs were happy with their new leader. Soon, however, they found out they could jump up and down on their new leader and run all over him. And he would offer no resistance at all, nor even a response. And this was kind of fun for a while. The log did not have any direction or purpose in his behavior, but just floated back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in the pond. But eventually this practice exasperated the frogs, who were really sincere about wanting strong leadership. They wanted a stand-up leader. They didn't want a leader just floated back and forth, that they could run all over. So they went back to Zeus, and they complained about their log leader and appealed for much stronger administration and oversight. Those are biggies, aren't they? We all want that. And because Zeus was weary of the complaining frogs, he gave them a stork. Yeah, a stork. And who stood tall above the members of the group. Really tall stork. Little frogs. And certainly had the appearance of a leader. And the frogs were quite happy with their new leader, and their leader stalked around the pond, making great noises and attracting great attention. However, their joy turned to sorrow and ultimately to panic. For in a short time, the stork began to eat its subordinates. So the moral or the point of this story? Well, it seems to be that the Lord does not want his leaders to be like logs who allow the people totally to run over them. But neither does the Lord want his leaders to be like storks that eat up the people and only take advantage of them. So may the Lord grant his leaders the divine balance that he so greatly desires. So from Aesop and the frogs, we learn about divine balance in leadership. From Moses, we learn that leaders must accept judgment with humility and grace. And from our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that our leaders should always display obedience to God and a faith that is buttressed by actions and good works. Deeds, not just words. Let us pray. Lord, of your great mercy, teach us what we know not. Grant us what we have not, and make us what we are not. All for your glory. Amen.